Anything to add, Dr. Beasley?
Well, everybody loves to look at the ponds and how beautiful they are, but the basic thing is you got to be willing to do the maintenance. In the fall, you've got to be willing to collect out any leaves that are in there. And in the winter, you want to make sure that you're maintaining an aerated environment, making sure that in the spring you clean things up. And in the summer, there's always maintenance to do as far as with your filter to keep the debris from clogging up your filter, but also maintaining the good beneficial bacteria in the filter that help keep the animal waste digested.
Right. And that's the one thing that I would say has been the biggest advancement in the last 10 years. You can do it just by letting nature kind of settle in. But remember, we got that rubber liner that's isolating nature from your pond. So we literally have bottled bacterias that you can spike, if you will. Imagine if you were to go out in the wild and try to explore why these water areas are so pristine, okay? Well, bacteria has played a critical role in doing that. Well, in a bottled material that we have sitting on the shelf here or in other areas, other places that sell pond and water garden supplies, you literally have the types and strains of bacteria that kind of break down the debris in your pond. There's actually some combusting products, much like if you wanted to clean out your septic tank, you throw some stuff down there and lo and behold, now all of a sudden it flushes again. Well, the same way goes with your pond. Yes, it's important in the spring to clean and digest that stuff. If it's not too serious, you can actually add a powdered product that's a bacteria enzyme product that'll combust that down. And then over the pond, to try to prevent undesirable algae and stuff, algae that you don't see in nature, there's actually bacteria. There's two or three brands of bacteria that have been scientifically designed to prevent undesirable algae from showing up, to provide the right climate on the actual liner itself, and to prevent excess nutrients from building up in your pond. You can always abuse that. Remember, this is an enclosed ecosystem. So if you're throwing tons of food in there and you like to see lots of fish eating, that can disrupt the cart no matter what. And that's one of the misnomers. People think they need to add lots of food in their pond because their fish are always begging. They're going to beg no matter what. So you want to be careful when you go to feed. Pick a good food out that doesn't have too much nutrient to it. And then feed very sparingly as opposed to ambitiously.
Well, and that's funny that you say that, because the thought that I had is that especially if you've built this outdoors, then you're going to have natural food entering into the tank without regard to your feeding of the fish, because you've got insects that are going to fall into the water. And something tells me that the fish are not really avoiding those, they're eating them. So, and I actually, in my reading about koi, they even talked about calling them nitrogen machines because they just seem to eat a lot and create a lot. So how do you maintain that proper environment?
Well, one thing that's really interesting is if you take an established pond and you take a net and you just net some of what we call the detritus off the bottom and you put that in a shallow dish, you'll be amazed how many little creatures are crawling around in there. Baby crayfish, baby dragonflies, all these little copepods and stuff. And that's real koi food right there. The koi are a species of fish that they are just bottom sifters. And they eat all day long. Which brings up a benefit in that you don't have to feed your koi every day like your dog or cat. You can go on vacation 3 or 4 days and you don't have to feed your koi. There's plenty they're going to scavenge off the bottom.
Yeah, I would imagine that's why they grow so large so quickly, is because they're just eating machines. And when you're an eating machine, then you're going to excrete, and that's got to create some of the chemicals that becomes the difficulty in balancing out that environment.
And one thing you might want to think about, you don't have to make this an overwhelming project even for maintenance if you just know how much time you have to give this. For instance, rather than adding anything like a goldfish or a koi to your pond, let's say you had a 200 or 300 gallon pond in your backyard, one thing you can do is just add tropical fish to your pond just for the summer, and then they go back into an aquarium during the winter. The advantage you have of that is there's very little biological oxygen, biological demand on that system. And if you have a lot of nice water garden plants, a little bit of extra fertilizer is sometimes even needed, so a little bit of plant fertilizer for the plants, that pond is just fantastic. And you'll find that some of the tropical animals, like mollies that you've heard of, tropical fish, mollies, guppies, swordtails, they'll eat the larva of the mosquito. They'll eat little midges. They'll eat the algae on the side walls. And danios are probably one of my most favorite because the zebra danio that everybody has, or there's a whole variety of them. They will eat aphids. All I'll do is sometime in the summer you'll get little aphids on your plants. So I just pat down the aphids, the leaves down in the plant into the water. And it doesn't take me but a week or two before I've got most of my aphid problem taken care of because the danios just go crazy after those aphids.
Interesting. And most people may not have thought about taking the fish from their regular freshwater tank and putting them in their outdoor pond. So that's a really neat way of taking that which you've spent the winter with and really putting them in a little bit different environment and having them thrive.
Well, what's really nice is that they get very, very colorful through the summer. The footnote is you need that pond temperature to get about 65 degrees or a little warmer. So I usually see about the first week of June. Maybe this year might be a little earlier. We can only hope. But I would say the first week of June. And then by they can handle it going into the fall a little bit better. But certainly by Labor Day, you want to pull them back out.
Interesting. We're talking about the concept of water gardens and koi ponds, and our guest today is Dr. Wayne Beasley, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine at Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic in Williamston. Rick, after the break, we're going to talk with Dr. Beasley about ways that you can go about maintaining your outdoor pond or water garden, and what are some of the obstacles that you're having to protect against in terms of the natural environment and just how to keep healthy fish and make sure you've got healthy fish for them. So that's what we're going to talk about after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Oh,